I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 49, Game 4 at Ithaca, the place where Hobart has never won ever. We'll talk about that with the head coach, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
First, let's celebrate last week. That is one of the great gut-check wins I've seen in watching Hobart football for 20 years. I mean, just no give up, compete, as long as there's a second on the clock, and we have a chance to win this game, we're going to win it.
Yeah, that's Hobart football right there. I mean, I think we challenged the guys throughout the week. I think they responded well. There was a great week of preparation against a hot opponent that was really coming in, and really just proud of the way our guys competed. It wasn't as clean of a game. There's still a lot of areas we need to improve on, but the competition piece will take us really far.
Before we get into the details, there was one play I wanted to ask you about near the end where you kicked off and there was a penalty and you kicked off again. Was that pre-return, so you had no choice there? Because they would have had it at the 15, and you kicked again and kicked it for a touchdown.
No, actually, the way they were going to spot it, they were going to spot it up higher. It was a holding penalty, so either they were going to get better field position or re-kick, and I just trusted that we were going to, and we ultimately gained better field position out of it. So because of the way that they called it, I didn't want to re-kick it unless we were going to gain an advantage, and we did. We gained about 15 yards from it.
That defense, I mean, you keep getting off the field and giving the offense a chance. If you had said to me before the game, Zalkowski throws for 287, you sack him four times and pick him once, I'd have said, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, I think our defense had a really good game plan and actually got better as the game went on, too. You know, I think the early start with the strip sack and the fumble after we had scored gave us, a good shot of energy and adrenaline for the guys. As a good offense does, they came back and answered. And for a while there, it was a pretty even game all the way through. It was both offenses kind of, stubbed our toes and kind of struggled a little bit through the second and third quarters. And then when they got the lead, I just thought our defense stayed the course, trusted the getting the ball back to the offense. And, you talk about trust, for us punting it back to them late in the game, that was me saying, yeah, I trust our special teams, I trust our defense to get the stop. And ultimately, that worked out in our favor, but it was a game that took all three phases at different times, and I think that's how we got to win games this year. We got to be able to do it where one side can pick the other up and provide a shot. And I think the defense needed to see us go down and score on that first possession, which was a really good drive for us. And I think that gave them energy. And then there was times, obviously, the defense gave the offense energy. Special teams played really consistent ball. And if we can do that, I think we'll be in and put ourselves to win a lot of games.
One of the funniest things, and you see it so much in football, is a team goes right down the field, first possession, scores easily, and you think this is going to be the day, and then it just shuts down. I mean, that's kind of what happened with you. You got the second touchdown off the short field, off the takeaway, but what changed? In that first drive, the line is shoving them back. E.J. Taylor's got the holes, and then it wasn't so easy after that.
Yeah, they did a couple things in the run game up front. Honestly, it was more about our execution. I think Utica was a good defense. I thought they did some really good things coming into the game that we were able to, in that first drive, exploit. And honestly, it was more efficiency. We hit throws in the second, third, and quarter. Things were open, and we were missing. So it comes down to our execution. And just a couple things in the run game where we did a really good job in that first drive of taking care of the defensive linemen and then getting EJ and the running backs to the second level. As the game went on, their defensive front, some movement, did some things that kind of prevented us to clearly get the defensive line. So even as I was trying to run the ball there in the third quarter and early in the fourth, it was their defensive line making first contact. And that was, again, it comes back to our execution. We had really, really good field position. We should have scored more points than we did. But again, as I told you, we're still, up front. We're still not at full strength and capacity. That showed out a little bit. We took a stride forward. But we got to give our running backs a chance to get going. When they do, you can see that they do a pretty good job finishing forward and getting those hidden yards. But ultimately, I think it was two good defenses going at it. And, is where everyone else thought that was going to be a high-scoring game. I thought that was going to kind of play out a little bit. I would have liked a higher offensive efficiency to put more points on the board, and we're working on to improve on that. And a huge part of that is every single position. There was a couple things with the running backs, a couple things with the receivers blocking on the perimeter. There was a couple things with the tight ends. There was a couple things with the quarterbacks. And when you add a couple of those things at a time, that's what keeps you from having successful drives.
We talk a lot about offense and defense, and sometimes special teams get left behind. But your special teams are a weapon between the way Vicente Lyon not only can punt long, but can punt deep and pin a team, and then your kickoff coverage, and then on the return game, you've got Johnny Harding returning punts, and Taj Jackson and Kieran Cotter doing a great job returning kickoffs. I mean, you're getting a big advantage. You talked about the field position. You had good field position all day because of those special teams.
Yeah, and that was one of our keys to winning the game was the field position. Given that offense a longer field to obviously have to go, and I think, like, for example, that defense did a really good job in that third quarter stopping them to the field goal attempt. You know, just those little things that we didn't do as well against the first two opponents we did, so we've made progress there. I think we have a chance to be pretty good on special teams. You mentioned a couple of those guys as returners. I think when they put the ball in their hands, I thought our guys up front, we've really worked on, and that week in particular, our kickoff and kickoff return, we felt like we could have a competitive advantage there. And over the course of that game, we had about a 25-yard difference, and that's huge. Obviously, 2.5 first downs or 2.5 first downs on the defense side of the ball that they don't have to get. We missed, and a couple of them were like we had good positive runs or a pass play that got called back because of holds that kept us out of scoring in a couple of those drives. That's where we got to be able to clean it up and not have those self-inflicted penalties that kind of hurt us from scoring points, because, again, in a game like that, it would have been great to have that lead earlier, and that's what we got to do. We got to give our defense that lead to hold and preserve, and then the offense has to be able to do like what we did last week, be able to finish off games.
You told us coming into the season a lot of guys would kick the football. Gavin Harvey was the kickoff man last week. He also got the long field goal attempt. I couldn't tell for sure. Did that have enough to make it? Was that just a little wide right?
Yeah, he had plenty of leg. He just missed a little wide right, and that's why I told him, that was his first field goal attempt of his career. But we have a really good group of kickers right now that all kind of can kick at different areas and regions of the field. I trusted him in that point, but more importantly, I trusted him like how he had the emotional security to be able to come back and say I missed the field goal, but did not affect his kickoffs. And again, even yesterday in practice, we're competing. We have a really good group of kickers, and I think you'll see it throughout the year. Certain guys in certain roles, based on who's been more consistent that week or in that situation. I think you'll probably have three or four different guys that can kick a field goal at some point this year.
Let's talk about Jeremy Weiss. First off, the decision to bring him in, was there any injury at all to True Styles, or was that just your choice to go with Jeremy?
No, that was Jeremy had a good week of practice. Obviously with Aiden out, True and Jeremy got most of the game reps that week. It goes back to what we talked about in the beginning of the season with the season outlook. I thought we had three really good quarterbacks competing in the spring, and a lot of people talked about True, and then when Aiden got the start, they talked about True and Aiden. But Jeremy's been working, and I'm really proud of his preparation, the poise that he has to know it's not easy to sometimes be the three going into week one, and then all of a sudden with an injury he was the two. But he had a really good week of practice. Felt like at that point, and not that True hadn't played well in some capacities, but we had missed a couple throws, missed a couple reads, some checks, and it just felt like the offense needed that spark sometimes. And I made the analogy of, there's a starting pitcher, sometimes gets the win, you have the closer, and Jeremy came in and provided a spark that I think our offense needed at that point. He was really efficient with where the ball was going, and the other guys made some plays with him, and that ultimately was the right decision at that time, I thought, to come in and give us that ability to move the ball and get that touchdown.
He shows us a little bit different look, too. We've talked about the other two quarterbacks avoiding sacks with their legs. I thought he avoided them by hanging in the pocket. He really was the prototypical kind of pocket passer, trust his blocks and hold on to the ball as long as you can and see if someone comes open.
Yeah, Jeremy's going to – all three of them are able to run and they're able to move. Jeremy's done a really good job understanding protections and navigating that within the pocket. And you see that sometimes at the highest level in the NFL. There's some guys who are not extremely mobile in terms of running, but like have a really good pocket presence. He has that pocket presence. And he can move. We can get him out and runs and pass. Like on all, like I said that yesterday in our quarterback room, that all of our guys should be able to run our offense to the way we need it without changing it from one quarterback to the next. But each guy has their own intricacies that make it pretty unique for them. And I thought Jeremy did two things. I mean, really, he had two incompletions. One was a drop. The other one, there was an error on protections that there was someone in his face. But, like, that's what he was. He was efficient. knew where I needed to go and accurate with his throw. And that's what we needed at that point in the game, especially. I think we have a good situation in the sense that we have, you know, a handful of quarterbacks that can go win games for us. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And they're embracing the competition, embracing the idea that the better they play as a group, the better the offense performs, the better the team's going to perform. So it's no selfishness. It's about what's best for the team. And I love how they've embraced it.
Let's talk about the mental aspect of coming into a game like that. You go over to your guy, like you said, that was number three at the start of the year and say, okay, it's your job to go and win the game now. You must have to trust the mental makeup of that athlete. Not just can he physically make the plays, but can he handle being thrown to the fire like this? And you must have felt like he could, and he did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that decision was made way before Saturday's game. Like, the relationship I have with all of our players, but especially that group that I'm coaching directly, that quarterback room, I'm trying to build a trust and security that understands, like, I'm going to coach that group hard. Like, I coach them harder on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday than I ever will on Saturday. So that Saturday it becomes like, how are we doing this together? It's a true collaborative approach, and that's how we do it. Like, in the flow of the game, we're talking through the quarterbacks. What are you seeing? What do you like? We're talking through all those situations on adjustments, and, you know, maybe like, what do you think here? We got to make a protection call there, an audible here, and Jeremy, True, Aiden, you know, all of our quarterbacks have done a really good job at, like, allowing me to coach them hard during the week to prepare them for hopefully that Saturday is easier than what they saw during the week. And I think there's a trust that I'm going to try to put our players in the best position possible to have success, but also to build confidence in that. And I actually, like, that first series when he came in, it was True and Jeremy that was going to be like, wasn't just, hey, hand it over. Like, let's really work together on how can we move this ball down the field. And, you know, we moved it, got a couple first downs, and then got stopped. And then ultimately the last series was Jeremy's. But as I said, like, you know, True is a captain, True is a leader, True is someone who had success. Like, it wasn't like anything that we couldn't have done with him. We just felt like at the right time, sometimes there needs to be a spark or something that maybe Jeremy could provide that, you know, that gives us an advantage. And I thought at that time, if I didn't have confidence in Jeremy and Jeremy didn't have confidence in me, we probably wouldn't have been successful. But that's what I'm trying to breed with all of our guys, is that level of what is it going to take to go out and execute, and then be able to at any time, like, I hope moving forward that whether that's at running back, receiver, O-line, we're going to be able to generate better depth and cohesiveness by being able to rotate guys through without feeling like we skip a beat if we put a different running back in or a different tight end in or a different, you know, left tackle in. Like, and I think that holds true for the quarterback position. And again, I think right now we have three quarterbacks when everyone's healthy that's going to be a good battle to see. And, you know, ultimately, we got a good young quarterback in Grant that's had a good week of practice. Like, I really like that group. That it's tough because most positions, that's, you can rotate guys through. A quarterback, it's tougher to do that. But I believe we can do it and still be able to advance our offense, advance our team, and that's the goal.
At the end of the game, their next to last possession, you hadn't gotten the ball back to score the go-ahead touchdown yet, and there was one point where they ran a play and you let the clock run for quite a bit of time, and we were a little bit surprised about that. What were you thinking in terms of the clock when it got down to around 2 minutes or so? You had to stop them and try to get the ball back one more time.
We had all three timeouts. You had the 2 minutes. So a similar situation. You had the four stoppages of play that we could absolutely control. They were in a situation as a good offense is like, I wanted to see how their first possession was going to go out. So the first play, they ran it. And then my gut feeling was right. I didn't think they were going to run it two plays in a row. And they threw it and got the incompletion. So I was ready to call it if we needed to on the second one, knowing it's about making sure you don't want to necessarily always burn out your timeouts because you might need them on offense to advance. But at the same time, you want enough time on the clock. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship in that. I thought they were going to throw it, and they did, and there was an incompletion. And then by the time they got it, we were going to let it go to the two-minute stoppage, so that way the offense had all three, knowing that we were going to need a touchdown to win, not a field goal. 2 minutes with what we were going to have as good field position was going to be an eternity. So there is a little bit of a risk assessment there, but I think the big picture was knowing, like, how many timeouts we had, how many stoppages, where they were on the field, and ultimately, were they going to be able to get one first down, or, like, do we need those timeouts for the, like, after for their second first down? So there's no exact science or book that says when you have to do it, but it's a timeage of, like, how much time can you leave our offense? You know, the trust was when we did punt it, that I trusted our punt unit was going to pin them. I trusted that our defense was going to get a stop, and I trusted that we were going to get better field position or as good a field position by going for it. And all three of those things went in our favor, and then we actually got better field position because of it. But you know, I've actually thought the clock management piece was on point where it needed to be. And had they had more success on that second down play, we would have used it, had the stoppage, and then we would have needed to get another stop to get it back with, you know, 45 seconds left, if our math was correct.
Defensively, in these last two games, you've kept two pretty prolific quarterbacks from hitting the big play. Brockport got the one, and unfortunately that was the one that set up their winning score. But Utica only got one play over 40 yards, and that was, a split-second difference between a pick six and a long gainer. The DB tried to jump the route, almost did it. So you've done a great job at limiting the long play.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, you know, those good passing offenses. And we faced a couple, you know, I mean, most every quarterback we've faced has been either a senior quarterback or with a ton of experience so far through three games. And each passing offense has been different in how they've done it. But, you know, if we can continue to, you know, make quarterbacks uncomfortable, O-line and quarterbacks with the protection, which I thought that was one of the keys to, you know, the Utica success, was that's an offensive quarterback and O-line that wasn't really pressured much through the first couple of games, and we were able to do that, and ultimately preventing the big play. And, you know, I think that's going to be a task moving forward, like even this week and future weeks. If we can continue that, that's going to put us in a better situation to hold teams from out of the score zone. But ultimately, you know, I think that's a credit to the DBs, but like our front did a pretty good job getting in, and where there was some maybe longer throws where the quarterback's got to hold it a little bit longer, we were making him have to move off the platform. They're not always sacks, but making him so he has to reset his feet so he can't deliver the throw.
You're going into a place where you've never won before. Are you going to talk about that at all, or are you sick of hearing about that and it's just another football game?
I've already addressed it. I did it right away, first thing on Sunday morning, to make sure, just so that they don't hear it from outside news. It is. And I gave them the reality. Like, when we were really, really good for about two decades, we really weren't playing at Ithaca. So, I mean, you can take the history however you want it. The good news, I told our guys, this team's never played at Ithaca. This exact team. So both teams are, you know, 0-0 going into this game, and that's how it is. So, you know, we could be a better team than our record shows. We could be a worse team than our record shows. Same thing. I think anytime you look back at history, there's a lot to be said that obviously there's been some teams over the years that, you know, we've had some close games and haven't finished them. There's been some teams that, you know, went down there and didn't come out successful. But at the end of the day, this team is the first time they're going down there. I don't think it's any bigger, any smaller for this team than it was for any of the other teams.
We're getting a little teeny tiny bit of positive injury news. Randall came back on the defensive line for that game. Lucas Ruby made his first appearance at tight end, although it looks like you're down a tight end now because Hescock went out. So how are we looking overall with the team health going into game four?
Yeah, I think we hopefully trended in the right direction. As you saw, there was a couple guys that either got their first experience or was kind of eased in with some minutes. And we lost a couple through the game. So, like, you know, I don't know yet if it's like we got extremely healthy or extremely banged up. I think it was kind of more of a push in terms of this heading week. We hope some of the guys that have injuries are we're going to get some news back here shortly that hopefully that means that they're going to be able to return. But again, I think it's our next man up. You know, we talked about with Jeremy Weiss, there was other guys at other positions that need to step up, and, you know, a couple of those guys in the D line stepped up, and we had some guys banged up the last couple of games. A couple of guys at the O line have stepped up. So I hope the line of scrimmage can be solidified, because going into league play, that's going to be a huge part of our goals to be successful, is to be able to win the line of scrimmage. And hopefully, if guys can get healthy this week, heading into this week and then into the upcoming league weeks, we'll be in a better shape.
You got some first years that have really stepped up on the defense. Nate Bush, outside linebacker. Jerron Atwater Jr. is a guy that you can wind him up and send him on a blitz, and boy, he gets there in a hurry. And then Blake Minsterman in the secondary is getting a lot of quality playing time, and those guys are all making plays.
Yeah, like our defense this year reminds me a little bit of our offense last year, where like there was younger guys that like those first couple of games started to emerge and get some confidence. And you know, I think there's two or three other DBs that have been participating on like special teams or been rotating in, haven't necessarily made like the interception or whatnot, but like are getting some good quality minutes. So, you know, we got five or six first years on the defense side of the ball and on special teams that are making an impact. You know, I think you know, two in particular, like you mentioned, Nate Bush and Jerron Atwater, are doing a really good job of filling in where we needed some depth at the linebacker position. So hopefully that can continue to move forward as each one of those guys, I mean, Jaron's only played 2 games. Nate has played 3. In each one of them, they've gotten better and more confident in each game that they've played. So hopefully that's a trend moving forward.
Let's take a look at this Ithaca team. They've scored a lot of points, but, I mean, they did play Hilbert, which is a brand-new team, and frankly, everybody's scoring a lot of points against them. Is this more of a defense-first Ithaca team than we've seen in recent years?
I think their offense is potent. You know, I think they have a returning starting quarterback that's a captain. They'll have 2 or 3 of the best receivers we're going to face. So I think the receivers is actually a really strong point for them. So I think that's going to be a key to our success is trying to – I mean, they're going to throw it around, but can we prevent them having big plays? This receiver group has a little bit more speed than maybe some of the other teams we've had faced, so they're going to, you know, test our defensive backs a little bit more. You know, they're big in front, up front at the O-line, and they're capable with 2 or 3 different running backs. So I think it's an offense that can score. I think week 1 they played a really good Johns Hopkins team. So that's – I mean, they're one of the best in the country. So, like, that's a team that they struggled a little bit with offensively. They came back and scored 45 on Alfred, I believe, or 40-something. It was pretty high there. So, like, that was a – Alfred had a pretty solid defense. You know, the Hilbert is a different game. You know, Hilbert is – you know, struggled a little bit in that game to generate points. And, you know, I think it got out of hand a little bit. So it's tough to really see because, you know, all 3 of those opponents are really uniquely different. But I think this will be one of the better offenses we do face. They're going to be complete, and I think that's what makes them a good offense is that, you know, the quarterback can scramble and he can run on top of throwing, so that makes him versatile. I think the size up front, you know, it's going to be key to stop on the run. They're big at the line of scrimmage.
303 average.
I mean, I feel like that's a trend we've been saying. We've been playing some really big offensive fronts here, and you know, so we're going to need to use our strength and explosiveness and movement to help slow that down. But 100%, one of the keys to the victory is going to be keeping the quarterback in the pocket, you know, because when he scrambles and extends, like, he can make some plays. And I thought we broke down a couple of times against Utica where we needed better cage principles for the quarterback. And then can we prevent the big play? They have enough skill, speed, you know, from the backfield and especially at the receiver position that, you know, they're going to do their double moves, their trick plays and different things. So we got to be ready to be strong against that. And at the same time, we're going to have to tackle really well. You know, going on the other side of the ball, they are strong on defense. I mean, you look at their defensive line, this is probably going to be one of the most, not only just strong, but like thick. They have a true 2-deep at D-line. They're deep there. They have good leadership and speed at the linebacker position. And then, you know, it's good speed in the secondary. So I think scoring points is going to be a premium against a good, strong defense. You know, they're different than Brockport's front, but similar in some ways. Like, they don't want the ball run on them. But they're also going to be a little bit more multiple. So I think they're kind of a mix between that Brockport-Alfred style of defense. And, again, like, no disrespect to the defenses we've gone against, it's going to come down to our offensive execution. And I think hopefully a little bit healthier, if we can be, we're going to have to be a little bit more efficient than we've been. And we know that. We know that that's a huge part of where we were in those first 3 games is, you know, turnovers in week 1, you know, some timely penalties. The last 2 games have kept points off the board. For us to go beat a good opponent on the road, as we've said in the past 3 games, we have to be better at not hurting ourselves.
I really think, we talked about this earlier, that this is going to be a field position game. I think if you see one team starting drives at their 10 and the other at their 40, that can be a big difference.
Yeah, and you saw it last year. Our defense got some key stops. You know, I mean, literally goal line stands that kept points off the board, which was phenomenal. But we were able to flip those fields. And one of them was a punt with Vicente. Another one was a situation where the offense converted. And then again, so it can be done a lot of different ways. It's through special teams. It can be through a turnover or takeaway. It can be through a big play. Or it's got to be those methodical drives that go, you know, 7-8 minutes and get, you know, 6-7 first downs and go that way. And we've been a part of it in the past. Right now, again, I think that it is going to come down to which team can score points in the score zone. You know, last year it came down to a couple of defensive stops. We were efficient in the score zone. You know, the year before, there was 2 special teams plays that we lost that gave them 10 points. And again, in a game like that, that was the difference in that game. So all 3 phases have to be married together to play. When you want to play really high level football, you don't have the luxury just to say that you can make up for a turnover there or a big play there. Not to say that, you know, they're not going to happen, but can they be those game-changing type of plays.
It just seems like there's a Twilight Zone quality about going there. I mean, a few years ago, quarterback's trying to get out of bounds and run one more play. He can't. Clock runs out. Like you said, I think we fumbled a punt at our own three or something into the end zone, and they score. Can you coach that at all or talk about that at all, or is that just water under the bridge and forget it?
Yeah, you can, but you also, like I said, like a lot of the guys that are making the plays in this game weren't a part
right.
of the game. So it's like, how much do you want to carry over? Like, you can give a lot of different examples. Tradition is a huge part of it. I think, like I said, when we were a really good team, when we were rolling there from the early mid-2000s all the way through to, like, we weren't playing them. I would have loved to have gone down and played with some of those teams, you know. And again, I think now we're a strong team again. I think they're a strong team. So the last couple of times we played down there, they were dogfights. And again, the game 2 years ago had nothing to do with the previous years that we were down there. We fumbled in a snap, gave them 7 points on a fumble over our punter's head when we could have recovered it. And they blocked a short field goal attempt for us that right coming out of halftime that makes that game differently. And not to say that they were the only two plays, but to give a team 10 points literally on two special teams plays, that's tough to win at. So, you know, we're going to need to be stronger than we were even this past week on special teams. And I think that can be coached up because we're trying to make sure we win that third of the game. But I think it's going to come down to our offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency and getting those stops. I honestly don't think this year's team could care less about, like, whether this team has never played at Ithaca. No different than last week when that team never played Utica. Like, really kind of breaking it down to the moment. I know it might sound cliche, but it's 100% what we're doing. Like, we could care less whether we're 3-0, 1-2, whatever we are right now. The record is the record from the past.
Well, and if I'm the guys on the team, I don't want to hear about that stuff. Don't tell me about what happened 3 years ago. I wasn't there. I'm here now, and I'm going to make it happen.
Absolutely. And that's the mindset we have for our guys. So, like, we are not perfect by any means. I mean, our record shows that. But obviously our play shows that. And what I've said, and it's been so true, I think we've gotten better each game we've played. I think last week we played our most complete game up to this point. But we're going to have to play a cleaner and more complete game to beat Ithaca at Ithaca. That's no different if we were playing RPI, Union, Buff State, Rochester, anyone else on our conference. Like, it doesn't change. The name on the jersey doesn't change how we need to play. We play to our standard. And I know other people want to make it bigger than it is. You're playing a good team. Well, guess what? We've just played three really good teams, whether they like it or not. And the name on the jersey doesn't affect. It's the standard that Hobart plays, the control and our controllables. That will always be the case. And again, you got to respect certain teams like skill level, talent. But at the end of the day, we don't control that. We control how we perform against whatever 11 players they put on the field. And I think that's where this team's starting to get to that point. We played with a little bit more grit, a little bit more resolve on Saturday than we did the previous 2 weeks. Had we had a little bit more grit and resolve, and obviously that you need to execute, and that's the word I've been using. Like, you can want it all you want. You have to execute, and execute comes in a lot of different ways. You know, and I give examples of, you know, on Sunday when we watched the film for the Utica game, I pointed out, like, key plays that aren't the touchdowns or aren't the interceptions. You know, and it was like Billy Brosco hustling 40 yards down on that play that you talked about. You got a D tackle hustling 40 yards to go catch a receiver. There was want to there. We're talking about a guy like Luke Hansen who makes the big catch at the end, who wasn't targeted, but did his job, did everything he needed to on that play, and then made the play when he hadn't been targeted throughout the year, throughout the game so far. Like, you never know which moments are going to matter. And, you know, we have a guy that's flying down a kickoff cover. That was his only play. That was his thing, kickoff cover, and how much that was important to him. Like, everybody doing their 111th and doing it to a level than the standard that we talk about, that's what we did not do consistently the first 2 weeks. Now, 100%, you can point to a call here, a bounce there, a turnover there that maybe they changed those first two games. But, again, control what we can control. And I think we did a better job against Utica last week. My goal, and I said it to him, we got to play cleaner, we got to play more efficient, we got to execute a higher level in all three phases this week, and that's regardless of opponent. So everyone else is going to make it bigger than it needs to be. The opponent, the location, the history, here's what it comes down to. This team has not played at Ithaca. We need to go play a clean game, and that would be the same thing. And when we go play Hilbert, when we go play Buff State, when we go play Rochester, St. Lawrence, anyone else in our future, it's going to be the level that Hobart plays and the standard we want to play at. And again, we got to play with grit, resolve, toughness that we showed, And if we can execute at a higher efficiency than we're doing, I think this team's got a chance to be really good.
One last thing, offensive third downs, you're last in the Liberty League. I said during the game, I really think that's more about first and second down. It just seems like a lot of your thirds have been third and 10, third and 12. Would you agree that it's the way to get more third down conversions is to have third and two instead?
Yeah, I think first and second down efficiency is key. You know, a couple things that, you know, you're getting more exotic looks, you're getting more pressures on third, which goes to back to where our health of our O-line's been, and then our efficiency on, we've had guys open and miss some throws. So it's tied into a lot of different things. Absolutely, we want to be on the field more. We talked about possession time, and there's no one more than myself that wants to be more efficient than we're doing. We're trying to put our guys in the best positions possible. We've also, the ownership of the players along with the coaches, we all have to make sure that we're stepping up and when our opportunity is ready to execute there. And I think we've left some things out there on some third downs that have forced us that. We also sometimes third down is setting up fourth down. So sometimes the percentage on third down means what are we doing on fourth? We were about 50% going in on fourth. I hope moving forward that, like, you combine those, if we're good, yes, you want to be in third and shorts, you're going to have a higher success to complete those and convert those third downs. But it comes down to overall offensive efficiency. Sometimes some of our best plays were on first and second down, we got called back for holds, and like you said, now all of a sudden we were in a lot of third and longs that some of them were out of control, some of them were discretionary calls by officials. And again, at the end of the day, that'll play out over the whole season. But we have to be better. If we're going to score more points on offense, we have to be better and putting ourselves in some better third and fourth down situations.
All right, Hobart at Ithaca Saturday at 1 o'clock. If you're there, by the way, our broadcast position is on top of the football building right in front of the visiting stand. So come say hi and make lots of noise for the crowd, Mike. You can, of course, find this podcast wherever you go to get your podcast, Google, Apple, Spotify, etc. And all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. Coach, best of luck for a great effort and a great result at Ithaca.
We'll look forward to seeing you there, Ted.